praying to the Lord, amen, with all your hearts, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing that song, "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee." If you come that thirsty tonight, that you depend on life or death to get to that waters tonight, amen. Amen.
And as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul.
And you are
lift our hands to you.
Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we glorify your name. Oh, you deserve the glory. Well, all the glory and the honor. Oh, Lord, we lift our hands in worship. Oh, as we glorify your name. For you are great. Oh, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. My Lord, oh, there is no one else like you. For you are great. Oh, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. My Lord, there is no one else like you. Sing that again one more time. Well, oh, you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. My Lord,
give a little round of applause, saints. Amen.
No one else like you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Would you sing that song, You Are My All in All, amen. Jesus, Lamb of God, amen.
Because you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my yeah. taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name, you are my all in all, and when I fall down, you pick me up, when I am dry, Lord, you fill my cup, you are my all in all, Jesus, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Sing that again, Jesus. Well, Jesus.
Isn't he worthy? Amen. Amen. We just have an announcement here and a few one prayer request and a couple testimonies. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just a reminder of the meetings this weekend, the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The times are posted back there. I believe it's 6:30 Friday, 7 o'clock Saturday, and then regular time Sunday morning. But we'll be having a carry-in Sunday after service there. We're going to have a kind of a pizza carry-in. The church is going to buy the pizza there. Amen. And Sister Jody will get with the sisters on a dessert or a side dish. So, amen. Here, amen. Praise the Lord. From Sister Beth, amen. Today I was out in the chicken yard wearing a cheap pair of flip-flops. I accidentally stepped on a small piece of metal plate with rusty nails in it. One of the nails went through my flip-flop, just grazing my big toe. I didn't even get a scratch. Praise Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. You say 10,000 will fall to your left and 1,000 to your right, but they won't harm thee. Amen. Another testimony from Sister Cindy. Says, I want to thank the Lord for my parents. While my mother was here, she had a cough that wouldn't stop, but as soon as I would put my hands and pray divine healing over her, and I would thank my God for stopping her coughing, she said she would feel something that would soothe her to sleep. I would say to her, because I believe who I serve is a healing God and a loving God, and all the glory is in him. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause for that. Amen. Request here. Not sure who it's from. It's A. Paul. I don't know if it's this Paul. Or probably not, but it says, my name is Paul. Please pray for me. Thank you. We don't know if somebody came in while they were working here or whatnot, but you know, we'll pray for Paul. Amen. Pray for God's will in his life. Amen. Amen. Just ask for the sign if you come to this word of prayer. Amen. Also for the tithes and the offerings.
God, Lord, press through, Lord, this pipe, God, and the cross. also for Jeff Vance, God, Lord, working with him. His wife's got a little cancer there, issue, God, Lord. We just ask for healing there, God, also, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for delivering our sister there, Lord, and our other sister there, God, Lord. And, Lord, just have your perfect way tonight, God. We love you,
amen.
Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. And just, we just want to be pleasing to your eyes, God, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Let's just sing that song, "When I See the Blood, I Will Pass. I Will Pass Over You." How many are looking for that blood tonight? Amen.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I
that blood of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. That he can pass over us, amen. Let's just sing that song, What a Mighty God We Serve. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him, amen. We sing that redemption song. We're the only ones that can sing it, amen.
Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. All the angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Sing that again.
Well, what a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. All the angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God. Jesus is the God. Well, Jesus is the God we
sing that song, there's no one like Jesus, amen.
Amen. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one, sing that again, there's no one. Oh no, there's no one, there's no one. There's no one like him.
searched all around. I found no one. Lord, I turned all around. I found no one. Yes, I walked all around. I found no one. There's no one. There's no one like Him. There's no one. There is no one. There's no one like Jesus. No one, there's no one like Him. There is no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one, there's no one like Him. Amen. Give your God a round of applause. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We're going to go ahead and get into the Word of God this evening. Good to be in the house of God this evening. Amen. I'm sure it's already been explained. But by the grace of God, we're looking forward. We're looking forward to a nice little time with one another, a nice little time in the Word of God. And I pray those who are giving God your all. We got raindrops falling from the roof or the ceiling right now, starting from the roof. But by the grace of God, it's a good sign that there's rain in the house. Amen. But anyway, we just want to be as open to receive from God this weekend. We want to come with expectation. For those who have been coming to prayer, I pray that you've been blessed. I pray that you've enjoyed yourself. I thoroughly have myself. And by the grace of God, we do appreciate all those supporting that. And by the grace of God, we also want to say this weekend, of course, we just want to have our hearts set on God. Amen? Amen. Set on God for a deeper walk with Him. Amen? I know perhaps the last several sermons I've been preaching have kind of been pretty tough. And it's designed to bring forth an effect. Amen. Amen? And I'd rather be sitting here desiring and put in a condition where God could actually do something with me than to be in a spot where God can't do anything with me. Amen? Amen. So it's like the quote we read maybe a service or two ago, I don't know, but we understand in order to be like we need to be, we have to be at a spot where we realize that this church is going down. Amen? And I feel like I'm there. So by the grace of God, I want to continue where I'm at. Tonight, just hold on to your seats again and just try to be in as much expectation as possible. These sermons are not designed to, like I said, to make people mad or to make people perhaps grow tired of something, but they're actually meant to get you in the condition you're supposed to be in. Amen? So this is what I'm finding to be more and more my vision, and I just want God to just completely just turn my spiritual eyes from anything that doesn't produce, and I want it to be in a shape that God can move mountains through this life. Amen? So I pray that you have that same thought for your own life, that same thought for yourself, for your family, for this area. Amen? Because it comes down to a place that there's a lot of souls that are depending on you. Amen? Why is that? Because you have the truth. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles, Hosea 10:12. 2 Chronicles 7:14 and then James 5:16. We'll try to get a jump on this. I just want more God. Is that what you want? Amen. Hosea 10:12, it says here, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. How many can still say, God, I still feel like I'm breaking some fallow ground up. And to be honest with you, if we would all actually analyze ourselves tonight, we'd actually say, God, I did some breaking up yesterday, and when I woke up this morning, it just seemed like it was all hard again. Amen? But we're trying to get ourselves into a state of breaking this thing up and actually starting what to continually move into a spot where it becomes a lot more effectual than what it is right now. Amen? You know, just because our prophet said that we backslide every day doesn't mean that's a condition that we should expect to keep, expect to walk in. But we understand if you actually had a revelation of what it is to backslide every day, that is waking up with a desperation every morning to be number one with God. Have God number one right with you. Amen? God to be your first love. Amen? 2 Chronicles 7:14, very quickly. This is simple, as simple, as simple, as simple can get. But this will be one of the hardest aspects of your walk with God to live. Amen? 2 Chronicles 7:14, as you can see tonight, we will be working with the prayer of revival. Amen? And for a subtopic or just a topic itself, I'd like to give it prevailing prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Is this inspired? Absolutely. James 5:16. God, I need some healing. You just said that was inspired. That means you believe it. Amen? James 5:16. It says here, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. O Lord Jesus, how we love you tonight, God. And as we're gathered here together, Lord, we just pray you find us in an expectation tonight, O God. Lord, it's just a pastor of a church preaching, God. O God, the most common thing that they'll find to listen to, God. But Lord, we pray, O God, that you'll move beyond the bounds of a mindset of commonality, Lord. And Lord, you'll move us into a place that we see the Holy Spirit vibrant, alive, and well before us, O God. Lord, we want to hear from you tonight, Lord. We want, O God, this God who wrote in His Word that said that if we would cry out, if we would pray to this God, if we believed that you, O God, would get rid of our sins, if we could just confess them and put them before you, God, you could wipe them away if we had the right spirit, God. So we're just asking tonight, O Lord, that you'd certainly come in our midst, God. Give us a little stir, O God, a little more stirring as we move for revival in this day. Knowing that this is Laodicea, this will be the hardest time in all of history to come into a revival. But God, the seed that you put here, O God, now, is more than powerful enough to move any obstacle before us. So we just pray tonight, Lord, that you just get us a little bit more in condition, God. Lord, I'm expecting great things, and I'm expecting it, God, every night. I'm expecting it every day, Lord. And I pray, O God, that, Lord, we can be in one accord with this thought, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd certainly anoint this time, God. And, Lord, we want to see you move, Lord. We just love you with all our hearts, Lord. And, Lord, we believe that we can put you on the scene, God, by calling out to you, Lord. That's how much we know, Lord, you're with us. We just trust you'll be with us this evening now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the bride says together, Amen. You may be seated. Like I said, we'll be working with the prayer of revival this evening. And I pray, given the opportunity, some of us have more opportunity to pray this week, perhaps more than you've prayed any week in your life before. Amen? And it's kind of brought before you as an opportunity. It's not something forced. If there are other things that are important, other things that take precedence, we certainly understand. But we do appreciate those who have come into a place where you're able to come and join us here as we cry out to God. Amen. But yet, this evening, working with the prayer revival, I want you to understand that I'm not getting away from the origins of how to create a revival. As far as getting away from your sin, getting away from God, being somewhere less than first place in your life, which results in the fact that God is not number one. Because why? Because sin is still your preference. Amen. It takes many forms, but yet if God isn't number one, that just shows something is an idol above that. Amen. Now notice here as we get into this, I want to start in this direction this evening. In Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness 61, you know me, I've got a lot of quotes, I got several sources, and by the grace of God, I would like to get to some scripture as well, and just kind of work on you tonight, amen? Because even when we hear the Word of God, we understand that there is something that that Word should do to us, amen? That Word should prick our hearts, that Word should drive us to what? To action. It should bring forth what? An emotion from that Word. That Word is actually made to stimulate every effect that can come forth from the human body. Amen? Not that it does the same with yourself every time. Just because you get an action doesn't mean there's an emotion. Amen? There might just be what? A perseverance to do something, right? But yet we understand that that Word of God, it is made to create. Amen? And you, as a son or daughter of God, you have been made to create just as well. Hallelujah. Amen. Now notice as we read this quote in Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness, we see here it says in 67, what good did it do? Nothing. And it'll never be until every person that professes to be a Christian will forget his own ability and yield himself to God. Amen. Then God can achieve His purpose by sending not a revival, notice this, but brother, what He needs to do first is send a killing. Oh my, we got a heretic preacher here now. This must be Jim Jones. Amen. But now notice this wording from this revivalist, as I'll call him tonight, is he is actually saying that what we need first. He didn't say you don't need a revival, but he said the first thing you need is to what? You need God to bring a killing. Amen. Let's continue. You have to die before you can be born again. And you have to, he needs a killing of ourselves. Now notice this. Oh, he's just preaching to the sinner. Oh yeah? Just hold on to your seat. He needs a killing of ourselves. This tabernacle needs a killing. And me with it. Oh my. Well, you know, he was the seventh angel. He didn't need that. Oh, not even so much. Here he is saying what? In having, mastering human ability as far as a yielding to God, you have to completely die. Amen. And he had died before, but he had come to a place in his senses that he knew that he had to die now. That what? Anything less than 100% from God would take a killing. He said the church need a killing. Amen. He said he needed a killing. And church, I tell you tonight, we still need a killing. God deserves to be number one. And until He's number one, and you grasp that, it is revealed to you, then God cannot move the way He needs to move. And when I say how He needs to move, He should be effectively transforming the image of this church into the perfect image of the Word. Hallelujah. I'm not just talking about a supernatural church. I'm talking about mechanics on display. I'm talking about a church that's in love with God. You don't have to tell the visitor about how you love God. It is on display. Let's continue with this. He says, all of us, we need a killing so that we can be revived. Well, we don't need revival. You see, we don't need that no more. Don't listen to whatever brother tells you that, because he needs a revelation himself. He says, but he can be revived in a new life, a new hold. A new hold, a new hope, a new experience. Hallelujah. We need first a day of mourning. Has this church had a day of mourning yet? Oh, hallelujah. What is mourning? Mourning can be most completely used in the state of death. When someone dies, people mourn with them. Amen? In Israel, when people died, we see even Lazarus, that they actually sent mourners who would go and comfort by crying with you. Go by weeping and showing that they care. So we understand that we need a day of mourning. We need a day. We need a time. We're not just one person, but we need a church that's willing to cry out and say, God, I need a revival back to a new hope. To a revived experience. I need a first love. And God, I believe that this first love I get, He talks, He moves, He delivers, He frees, He heals, He does everything. Let's move on now, church. So now, we see what we really need is a dying. Now, let me show you as I was beginning to work with this. And God just happened to drop this on me one night. And I want to show you something here. Because I want you to understand what revival is. Remember last time we read F.F. Bosworth from Christ the Healer. And how he said that sporadic healings and salvations can happen when a church isn't in revival.
Amen.
Right? But it happens much greater when a church is in revival.
Amen.
Amen. So now notice here, I'm going to read you something now. Let's go to another quotation here. I'm going to move if we can. Let's go to F.F. Bosworth, Christ is a Healer. Brother, I don't even have it noted on there, but it's right there beneath what I just read. It says, the failure of the Christians to live and walk in the Spirit limits the Holy One of Israel. Because of our being filled with the Spirit is the condition for His perfect working. Now, where do we get this from? We sure already know this. We get it from the book of Acts. Now, I had a different version, and as you can see, there's a lot of mistakes in that. That's because I wrote it out. But mine's not that way, so you just have to bear with me. I'm not Captain Typer here, but we do try. It says, instead of being surrounded by this atmosphere in our day. So it's actually an atmosphere that you need to get into. Now notice this. In Acts 2:42 it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So after the Acts experience, they continued with one another, what? In the Word, in communion, and in prayer. Now notice this. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So now, how could this happen? Because, see it, church, the church was designed to be in desperation for God together. And when the church is not in desperation, when it's not crying out, it will produce very little. Now, notice this as we continue in our quotation, if you can bring that back up, brother. It says, instead of being surrounded by the atmosphere, by this atmosphere in our day, notice a poor, afflicted wife often is surrounded by opposition from her own family, and often from her own pastor and fellow church members. And so she fails to receive healing, being too weak in mind and body to fight the battle alone. The very ones opposing her are the ones who ought to be praying in faith for her healing. We are all to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, this is actually when I first opened up Christ as a Healer. I opened this spot and I just started moving with revival in this church. And you know what I'm going through, amen?
Amen.
You know what we're looking for, amen?
Amen?
And I open this up and I read this, I say, God, you couldn't slap me in the face any more than what you just did. But I want to take this further than personal.
Amen.
Because there's people here, saints here, who have bodily issues. And we are learning to deal with the pains in our body. But we are not made to deal with pains in our body. Charles Finney and even F.F. Bosworth, I think it's F.F. Bosworth said it. He said, the problem with it is that Christians are not healed because they actually think that they're doing God more a favor by suffering for Him. But he said, in all honesty, they're showing that they don't believe the Word more by doing that. Because God promised that He would heal them if they believed. So notice, we're sitting here accepting a lesser form of the gospel. And because of that, there are people here with physical issues. People here with spiritual issues. And the reason why is because we don't want to live the next gospel. We expect someone else to live it. We expect this brother or that sister or someone else to be close to God when the Bible says they were all in one accord. The Bible says what? Because they communed on that level, that God could do many signs and wonders. Oh God, how do we get that here? You've been hearing about it for the last four or five sermons. So notice here, God come around and slapped me in the face because I had to honestly say, what atmosphere have I created for my wife to be healed? What atmosphere have I created for others in this church to be healed? Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. We might catch an inspiration and what? Pray 5-10 minutes after service.
Come on, brother.
But what does that do?
Good.
I'll show you exactly what it does. The angel Lord 51. It says we're having great crowds, but no revival. We're getting people to come up, maybe, and stagger along and confess and go back. But what we need is an old-fashioned breaking up, tearing down, rooting out revival that starts in every home. Notice this. And sweeps through the city and they close all the bootleg joints and everything else and straighten the thing up. That's a revival. See? Not just walking up and making a confession and going back. It's no revival. You come to church and you say, God, I want to live there. And then you walk out the door and you don't continue that. You're showing something. Let's continue reading here. It says, watch, that's just a form. It's a lukewarm condition. Oh, hallelujah. You might come in here and get a little excited for a little bit. But that's not a revival. A revival is something that what? That perseveres more than just when you're in church. More than when you're called to the church. But what? It moves through your house. It moves to your community. It moves to all the seed that are lying there. And Living Waters Tabernacle, we have some seed to get. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We could fill this church just with our family members. But what? We can't even make an atmosphere to heal our own. Let alone to heal a soul that needs the Holy Ghost. What's the problem? You still don't care. This is when we begin to get quiet. I'll tell you right now, I still don't care enough, church, but I want to. Hallelujah! It's a lukewarm condition. We need a revival, a real revival, and God help us to have it. When you see these crowds gather, that doesn't mean revival, that's just a gathering. But a revival is when people get really right with God. Pray through.
Amen.
Pray through.
Come on, brother.
Hallelujah. We got to get to a place that our prayers are more in the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. My wife just talked to somebody on the phone and they're talking and she was telling them what we've been working with up here. And she said, that's funny. She said, when we first come to the Lord, she said that she would be, her husband would go do something and she would go pray. And she said she'd walk out from praying, and it felt like just a short time. And she said she looked at the clock, she'd been in there for 4 hours. Is that the type of relationship that you want with God? That you are so in communion with God, that time fleeting. Hallelujah! That reality. Oh, hallelujah. Half us here say, oh God, I want to go to heaven. You can go to heaven when you get down on your knees, church. Hallelujah. You can find God if you want to find Him. You've got to get lost in the Spirit. You get in heavenly places. I ain't talking like, remember Brother Bram, he talked about the individual who we heard. He told him, he said, just shut your mind off and just start saying anything. And your prophet said, he said, that's how you get a devil on you. I'm talking about loving God and getting into loving God. I'm talking about having a God that'll pray right through you if you can get in the Spirit for it. Oh, hallelujah. This is a place, church, where you have to try to pray being quiet. You don't have to do it. You can do anything to stay awake. You ever have those people that are on their way home and they're dead tired and they call you up and they tell you, yeah, I just called because I didn't want to fall asleep while I was driving. Oh, so all you need to do was to talk out loud to somebody? Really? Oh, hallelujah. But we sit here and half us fall asleep or this fall asleep. And what? We fall asleep at home and we don't realize that sometimes you need to talk to God. Oh, hallelujah. We get these quotes in our mind. Well, my thoughts are heard louder in heaven than my words. But that didn't mean that you only pray with your thoughts. You gotta pray with your mouth. God gave you a mouth, not just to talk to your brother and sister. He gave you a mouth first to communicate with Him. Now notice here, so the reason we can't get it going is just because we're just really not wanting to get 100% right with God. It's okay, because that's what Laodicea proves. But if you really needed something, if we really need something, we'll go do it, won't we? Hallelujah! Think about how your flesh plays on you. If I need a pizza buffet, you know it. I'm going to go to that pizza buffet because I got $5.99. Glory. I can go with the deltas now. I got it all figured out. Pick your pleasure. But watch. You have the purchasing power to receive. And when Christ died on Calvary, He put the purchasing power in your hands. But you've got to take it by faith. You ain't looking at Abraham Lincoln's face on a green bill. You're looking at what? You're looking at the name of Jesus Christ. And the whole authority of heaven stands behind that name. Amen. Now, we understand that what we're seeing now, in order to get a revival, we got to get clean and we got to get prayed up. Because even to receive something from God, you need to be on that level. Brother, you got me tempted right now. Can you turn this fan on for me? But don't turn on the level that's going to suck me up into it. Hear that little beep? That's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, notice here, Charles Finney said here, he said, prayer is an essential link in the chain of causes. I'm going to read this. I'm going to wait for a second. Hopefully you can find this down a ways a little bit, brother. I've read this quote here before. I love to hear it every time I hear it. Amen. Prayer is an essential link. Amen. In the chain of causes that lead to revival. Now, I don't know if you're going to like this. It says, as much so as truth is. Amen. Now, this is what Charles Finney's saying. Pretty smart fella. By the way, manage. Some as zealously use truth to convert men and laid very little stress on prayer. How many of us say, oh, I got the truth. I'll tell them about the truth. They have preached, taught, distributed tracts with great zeal, and then wondered that they had so little success. Anyone remember me reading this before? Ouch. And the reason was that they forgot to use the other branch of the means. Effectual prayer. Right? How many of us have talked to people about God? And you've actually wanted that soul to find the truth you found. And you got done say, well, I didn't do a perfect job, but I gave him some truth. So we end up flipping the question now, and we say, okay, how have you prayed for that soul and atmosphere there to draw them to that truth? And we'll look and say, oh, I studied all these hours. I memorized this. But what about the power of God? Amen. Have you prayed for those souls? Have you really loved those souls? Oh, hallelujah. We can all say right like this, that you have talked to your families about God. And almost every time they've got mad. Or they just rub it off. Change the subject. We've been there. Well, I ask you, church, how much have you agonized over their souls in prayer to God? Minutes? Or is it just a passing second in your prayer life? Notice here, it says they overlook the fact that truth by itself will never produce the effect. Look at this message right now, church. There's souls coming in, but tell me how many of them look like the book of Acts? that's drawn them to a religion. It's drawing them to a church. But I ask you, church, do you realize what you're drawing them to? You're drawing them to a place where effectual prayer hasn't even landed. I'm going somewhere, church. I'm going there. Come with me. Watch me. Do what you got to do, but I'm going to get something. And I pray you got the same thought. You got the same heart. You got the same desire. Because there ain't nobody can tell me this ain't true, because I've ran it through the message, church. All right. Now notice the fact that truth by itself will never produce the effect without the Spirit of God, and that the Spirit is given in answer to prayer. Why do you pray? Santa Claus? Well, because he's God. Is he really? Then why are we falling asleep while we're praying? Why we got God on a 1-hour schedule? Or a 10-minute schedule? Or a no schedule? See how we value God? Notice this. The word pray, according to Webster's 1828, it says to ask with earnestness or zeal. So, you realize with that statement right there, and can I look at everybody? That a lot of us aren't even praying. So, wait a minute. I ain't saying you ain't talking to God, but understand what I'm saying. Do you treat God like God? Do you treat Him like He is a person? Do you treat Him like He is infinite, omniscient, omnipotent? Or is it, well, you know, this is my religion. This is what we do. That is a church without revival. They are not in a revived state. It means the same thing as quickened, church. If that same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Quicken means to be brought from death to life. Revival means to be brought from death to life. So to be in revival is to be in a quickened state. So the Spirit will be in you. It also means to petition, to ask, ask for a favor as an application to a legislative body. Okay. Three, in worship, to address the Supreme Being with solemnity and reverence, adoration, confession, supplication, thanksgiving for blessings received. Earnestly? And with zeal? Church, you have a word that is revealed to you that has never been revealed before. How's your gratitude coming? I better move on. Church is going to get a little bit smaller. Hallelujah. Does this make you want to quit on God? Does this make you get mad at a preacher? Or do you just realize how that you are so lukewarm? I am so lukewarm that we have no ability to please God at all. I was thinking about this before I come on to preach. I'm saying, why in the world am I having prayer just for 1 week? This is where we start really getting quiet. Oh no. Remember, we read Charles Finney. He said, if you say that I'll attend so many meetings and that is it, he said, you're not ready for revival. I already read that. Anybody remember that? No, I didn't remember hearing that at all. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help me. I say, God, I should have this every day. Why, you say, brother? Why? Didn't we just read that in Acts 2:40? Did we ever forget that? The Holy Ghost they got. They were up in prayers together every day. Well, that's a little bit much of a sacrifice. I'd have to leave my life. Well, that's the only way you're going to make a rapture. Well, we'll just wait till, you know, after this or after that. Okay. You're going to wait till after the Antichrist appears. Wait until you see two prophets on your TV. Oh, wait, you'll probably be in Alaska by then. What are we waiting for? God, help me. So now, finishing our quotation, it says, sometimes it happens that those who are most engaged in employing truth are not the most engaged in prayer. Well, I ask you. See how you can be in the religious realms here. People can actually be praying, but they might not actually be in prayer because they don't even have a revelation to how to pray. They're putting in the preacher rule or the saint rule, whatever you want to call it. Amen. Notice. It says, this is always unhappy. You going to church where nobody's happy? Probably got some issues there.
Well, I'm reading my Bible, brother.
When's the last time you cried when you prayed? When's the last time you felt an anointing on you when you prayed? When's the last time you started praying and something got on you and said, I don't even want this to end?
Amen.
Notice here, this is always unhappy. Yep. For unless they have the spirit of prayer, or unless someone else has it. Well, that's what we're aiming for. That's why I said parentheses. The truth by itself will do nothing but harden men in impenitence. Well, I ask you, has the message got farther away from the God that William Branham knew? In his day, the gifts were in the church. In his day, he was preaching revival, and revival was still happening on a smaller level, even when it was closing.
Amen?
Right. Amen?
Amen.
There was still, what? A crying out in the city.
Amen.
Where are we at now? We got schools.
Amen.
Not just the message, but church in general. We have schools. We have meetings. But what has it produced? I already read your quote. It's producing a lukewarm condition.
Amen.
Well, why is that? Brother Cam, I can figure out why you're not a popular person in this message. I don't care about being popular.
Amen.
I want to get this living in me.
Amen.
And this is the only way I can figure out how to do it.
Amen.
Repenting? We're past that. I never did it in the first place. Yeah, I was going to preach that to you too. Your prophet said that, and then the next service, he says, oh, he said, forgive me, I didn't mean to say that. I'm so bad when I say stuff like that. Something to that effect. He never did in the first place. Why has he got to repent?
Come on.
Oh, it must not mean that.
Come on, brother, preach.
Give a theologian a little something, won't you? Now notice here, so the truth will only harden people. Right? Look at the message you're preaching. Oh, you're better off without tongues. You're better off without the gifts. You're better off with just a revelation of the Word. And everybody's squabbling, trying to bring out the deepest and this and that and that. And what's it produced? Is it getting people to the altar, getting filled with the Holy Ghost? Or is it just getting people to say, oh, there's a good anointing tonight. And they go home. It's the truth. I mean, it is. I mean, what do you want? If I can just open my mind to this, if I can just get God right where He needs to be, and I have to say me because I don't want anyone else to get mad at me, because everybody will be mad at me here. Right? We shouldn't be. Understand, this is where we get into the place, every single one of us, where we have to realize that the relationship you have with God is completely ineffective. Notice this. Probably in the day of judgment, it will be found that nothing is ever done by the truth. Used ever zealously, unless there is a spirit of prayer somewhere in connection with the presentation of truth. Well, remember, we can read John 3 and we can find out that the Father seeketh such that worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, in order, I don't want to miss this aspect of prayer. Prayer is communion. Prayer is communing with your husband to receive. Amen. It's communing with your husband just to show him that you love him, that you're part of him, that you're going to dwell with him, and that you are taking full satisfaction. Oh, where's my time going? Boy, I wish I'd pray like this. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. You mean I got 47 minutes under my belt right now? That felt like a minute. Boy, I must be up in the Spirit. Some of you over here are like, you're not in the Spirit. Amen. Not a condemnation, but you understand. You are privileged to have an anointing that is so much higher than that. I know. If I'm out there, I can get like that too. But we understand that we can enter into an anointing. We are the seed of God. We are the children of God. This church can be just as effective as this Bible. But you have to love God on the same token. So, the effective chain link to a revival, to you getting right with God, is not just coming up, confessing, dropping down on your knees for a few seconds or minutes or whatever, and heading out. That ain't going to do it. But to actually produce revival, you have to be first in what? In the truth, and be in the Spirit. What is the Spirit? The Spirit is the proof of prayer. Have you ever known someone who never ever prays to have a very effective relationship with God. Well, like I said, what is the Spirit? Could we all agree that the Spirit is actually being filled with the Holy Ghost and at a place where you are yielded to the Holy Ghost? So the Spirit controls your flesh. He's fighting for your spirit and you're letting Him win? The Spirit is actually a place of love with God. That God controls you. You come in here and you're so happy because you have an opportunity to be closer to God. And you're just holding on your seat. Not just because the pastor said it, because he's going to drill you. Right? Church, I was going to take this on a happy note tonight. And I felt a great conviction to go this way. Amen. I felt it and it come on. I said, okay, Lord, there's my change. Amen. Come on, brother. But as I preach this, I understand why. I understand why you need this, and I understand why I need this. Because whether you realize it or not, how we've been joining here, praying here this week, joining here together. You should be doing that at home anyway.
Amen. Absolutely.
All you're actually doing is changing your location.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, man. Right.
Into more of an Acts prescription.
Amen.
So you notice that. We might find out on Judgment Day. Now notice how he said it. He didn't say, thus saith the Lord. He didn't say, God showed me this. He didn't write absolute. But he said, you're probably going to see on Judgment Day that little had been done just produced by truth itself. Well, what did Jesus produce? 12 people. One was a devil. A couple women. He was truth itself. What did he produce? And they all fled from him almost.
Amen.
Except for John the bride. But what? Their religion was not effective until they went to the upper room. Which was when? When they got the truth? They already was with the Word. They just needed the Spirit. You know, I've been going on for years and years and years asking God to speak to me, asking God to commune with me on a higher level. And every time I get frustrated, because every time I try, it doesn't happen. Anybody say, amen? Oh, yeah, I believe that too. Well, I say, oh, I can't approach the mountain. Give me a law. Send Pastor up there. Send Pastor Moses up there. You're meant to go in the Holies of Holies.
Amen. Right.
Not just me.
Amen.
Oh. Let's wake up. Let's get those Jesus fleshes moving. He's made to control this flesh. I gave him this flesh. This is his. It might be a serpent. It's going to have to get changed. But I gave this to Jesus. It's all right to wave those things. It's okay to lift those serpent hands and say, God, I praise you with this devil. Because you have given this to God. This is a serpent. It has to be changed. You say, oh, I want to sock it to the devil. Okay, lift your hands up. Oh, I want to sock it to the devil. Oh, just let your body praise him. Because you are forcing the flesh, the serpent, to worship God.
Amen.
Oh, I'm on the devil's neck. Yes, you are on the devil's neck. You're making him do that. Why does the problem always come back not to the truth but to the Spirit? How come every revival is based on the Spirit, not just the truth alone? This is something that the devil does not want you to control. He does not want you to let God control it. So that's why people always go after a doctrine, go after a truth, and just stay right there. Because keeping the serpent in line, you just can't say, oh, the truth. You've got to be so yielded to God that this devil is under your foot. You're willing to put it under your foot? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I've had some fights. I've been doing pretty good this week. Come on. Amen. And I thank God because I believe it is what? It's sacrifice. Amen. You look at this prophet's ministry, church. It was constant sacrifice. Do we disagree on that? Constant. He was fasting. He was praying. He's getting alone with God. And we think because we're not him that we're going to get the same results doing something different. Now, notice this here. I'm going to move up top, brother. Right by emotional, spirit of prayer. It says a revival may be expected when Christians have a spirit of prayer for a revival. Remember, we went through the spirit of revival. So a spirit of prayer. You just love praying. Amen. It's when you get to a place that you don't have to force yourself to pray, it's actually a joy to pray. Amen. It's something you love to do. Amen. Now notice, that is when they pray as if their hearts were set upon it. I gotta pray. I just love praying so much. Come on, we want a revival. Amen. Sometimes Christians are not engaged in a definite prayer for revival. Not even when they are warm in prayer. Their minds are upon something else. They are praying for something else. The salvation of the heathen and the like, and not for a revival among themselves. How are we going to become effective to everyone else when we have God in first place? Amen. Revival brings you to a place that God is number one. Amen. So we're sitting here, we're still trying to mix up. We're trying to work that hour of prayer, you know, when we gather together. Oh, God, I hit my hour of prayer. Thank God I could mention so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. But yet, we should be at a place that our prayer isn't even limited by time. We could be here for 2 hours. We're so in love with God, it just happens. And we're sitting here, we're so in love with God, we just can't stop. It's like Lay's potato chips. Hallelujah! I had a bag sitting in my closet, and it was expired. A month and a half expired, and I broke that Lay's out. I said, maybe it's still good. I put that potato chip in my mouth, church, after I prayed. And that chip was stale as all get out. And I had that chip in my mouth. And I'm just thinking, man, yeah, that's kind of... I grab another one. And I grab another one. For I know it, I'd have that bag ate. You know, the family size bag. And then Elisha come over. That bag was almost gone full of stale potato chips. I could not stop. What if we could pray like that? You come into a prayer night and you're a little stale. And you start eating on that and you say, oh, that was pretty good. You start looking at prayer like it is actually something that can engage. satisfy you. It is what? It is a pleasure. See, the problem, we haven't moved to a place that prayer is that pleasurable. Our relationship with God is not that pleasurable. And we have so many needs, and we can't figure out why we can't get nothing. I want revival. So notice this. But when they feel the want of a revival, they pray for it. They fell for their own families and neighborhoods. They pray for them as if they could not be denied. Anybody there? Closest one I'm watching is my wife. And God done slapped me with an F.F. Bosworth quote to knock me on my back. Notice what constitutes a spirit of prayer. Is it many prayers and warm words? No. Church, I don't care if you come here and say, oh, I hit my hour. You prayed for 30 minutes. You broke through with God. Doesn't matter how long you pray. God dictates when it starts and when it stops. Amen. When you got a spirit of prayer. By the way, it's coming to this church. Could be here tonight. So, how about your warm words? Do anything? No. Prayer is the state of the heart. The spirit of prayer is a state of continual desire. Wait a minute. Didn't the epistle say pray unceasingly? Look. An anxiety of mind for the salvation of sinners. It is something that weighs them down. It's literally, we all got this gig going on. Think about a burden. It weighs you down. It's like something that you can't get away from. You got a problem. You got this issue or that issue. And it's something you have to constantly deal with. And half the time, you're dealing with it constantly because you have flat out got in the spirit of that issue. And prayer should be the same way with us. It is the same so far as the philosophy of mind is concerned, as when a man is anxious for some worldly interest. A Christian who has this spirit of prayer feels anxious for souls. Anybody crying out for souls? I mean spending time. Time! Time is proof! Time and zeal! God, why ain't my mama here? Are you really showing God that you want your mama here? Right? We don't feel like we need to be clean. We don't feel like we need to be here every time. For those with excuses. Amen. We don't feel a constant pain and throbbing for these issues. This is supposed to be quiet. It's okay. But it's all of our problem. Because revival puts that on you. a quickened state. Now notice, it is the subject of his thoughts all the time and makes him look and act as if he had a load on his mind. He thinks of it by day and dreams of it by night. This is properly praying without ceasing. Can you ever figure out why these books aren't on the bestseller list? Yeah, you know, I just bought me a Revival Religion book like about a year ago. It's like $7. Insane. 500-page book. And all these nuggets? Luke 22:43, I got to quit pretty quick here. Maybe I'll go just a little bit further. I got so much here and I'm not going to get there. There's people here that need help. Spiritually and physically. And you know what? If we're actually to be honest with ourselves, we could probably all raise our hands and say, I need help. I need help. Luke 22:43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, who's this Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. 44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. Agony? You understand the sorrow and the pain that Jesus Christ was going in. Suffering for you. And being in just agony, he prayed all the harder. Amen. Earnestly, with more zeal. Notice. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Anybody ever gotten a prayer in a state like that? Where there is blood falling from you. And this is our favorite part. And when he rose up from prayer, was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Oh, I'm in Laodicea. God sent me a rapture. Oh, let me pray up. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into the tribulation.
Right.
Temptation. Desperation 63:901 says, brother, sister, if Jesus had to pray earnestly, how much more have we got to pray earnestly? If Christ, the God of heaven made flesh, had to pray earnestly, then how much more are we sinners saved by grace? Pray earnestly. If the decision throw the Son of God into despair, what will it do to you and I? Desperately, we must cry. A couple quotes down, Charles Finney, page 53, Revivals of Religion. Now, do not deceive yourselves with thinking that you offer effectual prayer. Unless you have this intense desire for the blessing. Intense? Has anyone here went through a major revival? No. He did. Your God did. Notice this. So here's a man with experience. And he says that don't think that God's even going to answer your prayers unless you have an intense desire to receive. intense. Have they been intense? Yeah. I'm going to preach tonight. God, you're coming tonight. How is he going to come? Because his word said he inhabits the praise of his people. He's going to be here. See? Our whole attitudes, our whole mindset, everything has to change. Look at this. He says, I do not believe in it. Prayer is not effectual unless it is offered up with an agony of desire. The Apostle Paul speaks of it as a travail of the soul. Jesus Christ, when he's praying in the garden within such agony and sweat, was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Notice this. I have never known a person sweat blood. But I have known a person pray till the blood started from his nose.
I got the message of the hour!
Anybody ever prayed so hard? With such an intense desire that you got a bloody nose? And I have known persons pray till they were all wet with perspiration. Anybody? In the coldest weather in the winter. Now anybody? We need help. And we need help in so many areas. But have we even got to the level of desanctification believers in revival? No. Not even close. Well, I've done some snotting. No. I have known persons pray for hours till their strength was all exhausted with the agony of their minds. With, for hours? Not just one? Till they are so wore out they can't even move. Such prayers prevailed with God. Can you handle any more? Have you had enough for one night? We look and we can't figure it out. And the answer is either A or B, spirit or truth. The simplest things of this religion. I mean, if you understand what I'm saying, it is the ABCs of this walk that we have. Because do you realize all this is a relationship with Jesus Christ? Loving God, talking to God, wanting God, and showing that you're actually serious about it. We can fight to get to a video. We can fight to get with our family. We can fight to do this pleasure for ourselves. But we can't give God anything. Hardly at all. Well, I prayed 3 hours a day. But really, was it prayer? Zealous? Should be zealous every once in a while. We should be earnest every once in a while. We should be crying out every once in a while. We just went through all these quotes and said, these people were weeping. They're broken. They're yielding their bodies, emotions, spirits to the love of God. I'm going to read you one more. Just hold on. Just give me one more. Moving down, persevering prayer number 7, brother. Charles Finney's book. It says it must be persevering prayer. Remember? The spirit of prayer. Persevering prayer. Getting into a place that you like to pray. Notice this. It must be persevering prayer for revival. It says, as a general thing, Christians who have backslidden and lost the spirit of prayer. I ain't talking about a religious prayer. I'm talking about prayer. Will not get at once into the habit of persevering prayer. Oh, hallelujah! Now I can get Pentecostal. Their minds are not in a right state. How many can say, I need a mind state change? Hallelujah. And they cannot fix their thoughts so as to hold on till the blessing comes. Yep, got a problem. If their minds were in that state, persevering prayer, effectual prayer, in which they would persevere till the answer came. Effectual prayer might be offered at once, as well as after praying ever so many times for an object. So you see, once you get into a spirit of prayer, you now have an effectual prayer. I'm talking about the relationship with God. Revived, quickened state. But they have to pray again and again. Because their thoughts are so apt to wander away and are so easily diverted from the object. Amen. Amen. This your problem. Amen. Church, is this your problem? Amen. 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 Most Christians come up to prevailing prayer by a protracted process. Their minds gradually become filled with the anxiety about an object, so that they will even go about their business sighing out their desires to God. God's got to get you desperate. Just as the mother whose child is sick goes round her house sighing as if her heart would break. As if she is a praying mother, her sighs are breathed out to God all day long. If she goes out of the room where her child is, her mind is still on it. And if she is asleep, still her thoughts are on it. And she starts in her dreams thinking that perhaps it may be dying. Her whole mind is absorbed in that sick child. This is the state of mind in which Christians offer prevailing prayer. Let's stand. Not a very fun sermon. Not at all. But I need it. It's not very fun to hear constantly that you're failing God. That you're not living up to the Word. That you're not breaking up your fallow ground. That you don't have an intense desire of even love for God to pray a lot, nor to get in the spirit of prayer, or to have prevailing, effectual, fervent prayer. Of a righteous man availeth much. It's not fun. But it is the bride. The bride will know their God. The bride will be in this message, and the message will be in them. We have needs. We have fallen short. A lot of us, we've went home from every service, and we're finding ourselves fighting to hold on for the love of God. I'm talking about at a high level, constantly in your thoughts, constantly keeping Him there. We're fighting to have a prayer like that. Church, we have to come to the place that we start getting a little bit more desire to have that changed. God, start a process in this backslider. God, start something. I ask for it tonight. Start something in me that goes higher than my walk has previously and continuously put forth. You're in Laodicea. That is the state. But the bride can go higher. We sit here and say, I'm the bride. Yes, you are the bride. That's why you hear this, and something in you says that you need it. Hallelujah. As you've heard the word tonight, we're going to say a prayer. Sister, if you could play something. And we just want to just talk to God for a little bit. Ask God for a little more desperation. Ask God for a little more love for Him. You say, God, I want to be in a state where this relationship, this religion I have is pleasurable. It's not miserable. This world isn't miserable because I have the Spirit of God within me while I'm walking through it. Have you found a condition of conviction tonight? That you realize you're not really holding up to the mark you're called to be in. Church, of course we have. We got a bride here. We're just going to pray now. And if there is any sincerity that you can offer God, if you can fight that Laodicean lukewarm chasm and just break through a little bit, and mean it when you pray tonight. That it is your desire to commune with God. It is your desire to be revived in a state filled with the Holy Ghost. Where your brothers and sisters can be healed because you broke through. Where sinners can be convicted and broken and changed just because you knew your God. You had a little agony. You had a little emotion for God. Maybe we're dry tonight. Maybe say, God, I want to yield a little of this flesh to you, Lord. God, can you make me cry again? Can you show, Lord, that, Lord, this body's yours? Not that weeping's a proof, but you just want to yield it to God. So they said about Jesus, He sure wept a lot. Church, let's just pray now. Offer your sincerity to God. Offer your desire to God. I can't take you into a rapture. I'm just a man. But the Holy Ghost can. Perhaps we'll just pray now and just talk to God. If you're convicted, you're in a good place. Let's not quench that. Let's just pray to Him now. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, as we love You tonight, God, and God, as I look over these things, Lord, and I see, Lord, how bad I've fallen short. And God, I look at my life, even the message, God, and how, God, I can't get back 10 years, God. I can't get back 35 years of my life, God. To live at this axe pace. But God, I can come to You tonight, Lord. I know I've given you my life, Lord. I know, God, that I love you, God. But, Lord, I realize I just got to love you higher. Lord, I realize the walls that we're against today, how Satan's doing everything in his power to stop us from getting this revival. But I serve a God that's greater than that. We serve a God who can get us through these hard times. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that, Lord, it might have been a little bit long. Who cares? I hope there's none of us here, God. Lord, let it not be me, God, who'll be looking back and saying, if I only would have accepted that word. Because we missed it. God, I don't want anybody to miss it here. But, Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, that once again, Lord, I'll break up this fallow ground again. Because, God, I'm still walking out of here, Lord. And, Lord, I feel love for you more than perhaps previous, God. But, Lord, I know I can still go higher. I know, Lord, that there's still unbelief in my life that can flee, that can run away, God, that can get away from me if I can just break up that ground. It's not pleasurable to do sin, Lord. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord. I've allowed this flesh, this little devil, to overwhelm me so many times again. But Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, that, Lord, you'd bring, oh God, in this church, God, a real revival. A real spirit of prayer. A real desire for communing with you. God, we all have family members that need to be saved. We have friends. We have people we're crying out for, God. But Lord, we've got to be in the right state. Help us tonight, Lord. Put a little spirit of desperation on us. Move in our hearts, God. Give us more love. Take away that neglect. We just dedicate ourselves wholly to you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commit ourselves to you now as we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We're just going to sing a song now. If you need to pray, you can pray. If you need to go home, that's fine. But just try to put this word in your heart. If you need an altar, we got one. It's never been full. It was made to be full. Perhaps not even for us, for sinners. But let us sing a song, and we'll let you respond to God however you'd like. It's okay. Because we know where we're going. And I need more of you. That's just the way it's got to be. And I need more of you. Till there's no room left for me, and all those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, from the start to the finish, and I need more of you. Sing it again. And Lord, I need more of you. That's just the way it's got to be. Yes, Lord, it is, Lord. And I need more.